Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church. I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Friday, December 18th. I've got a good song queued up here by the Shepherd family, then the message from the Word of God. Today's broadcast is going to complete the message that we began on Wednesday and continued yesterday. As we're looking in Matthew chapter number 5, still dealing with the Sermon on the Mount, but we're coming down to the end of chapter number 5. We're going to be looking today at verse number 33 through 34, and that continues to the end of this chapter. And we're looking at our Lord's contrast with his teaching and the teaching of the scribes and Pharisees. He's dealing with the fact that our righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. So he's demonstrating how they have misread the scriptures or how they have misled with the scriptures. And he's dealing with his contrast, a contrast of morals, the contrast of marriage we just dealt with on the last few days. And we talked about the contrast about murder in the previous messages a few weeks ago. Now today we're going to be looking at the contrast about mouths. Our Lord's dealing with the very words we use, and he's talking about oaths. We've got three main points that we're going to be bringing out today. There's the attitude about oaths. There's the adjustment about the oaths. And then there's the action to prevent profanity. We'll be looking at all those things today on today's broadcast. Hope you'll stay tuned and enjoy the message as it was preached live in the auditorium of the Island Ford Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky. Matthew chapter 5, verse 33. We're studying through the Sermon on the Mount verse by verse. We're in this section of the contrasts where our Lord contrasts his teaching with the teaching of the Pharisees. And we're in verse number 33. We're going to look down through verse number 37. The Bible said, "Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." Look back at verse number 21. Our Lord said, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill." Well, that has pretty much power because we remember reading that in the scriptures, right? Right out of the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. Look down at verse number 27. "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery." Again, that rings true because we remember reading that again in the Old Testament. We read that in the Ten Commandments right there on Mount Sinai. Again, verse number 31, "It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement." That's not on the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, but Moses did say that in Deuteronomy when he's rehearsing the law to them the second time. Moses did give them that statement. But this statement in verse 33 is not found in Old Testament writing. It's not found, that phrase, "Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths." So unlike these other statements and teachings of the Pharisees, this one does not come directly from the scripture. It does allude to the scripture. One of the reasons being because the Bible was stronger than they were. They wanted to water it down a little bit, and so they'd come up with their tradition in which they had exalted to being almost divine and being above the scriptures. The prohibition that the Pharisees used was a prohibition against perjury. Thou shalt not perjure thyself. And against lying. Again, I say lying needs to be denounced. Lying needs to be preached against in our society. It's just like cursing's become commonplace, so has lying. We make jokes about it that we almost expect lawyers and politicians to lie. You've heard it said, if you want to know whether or not a politician's lying, look and see whether or not his mouth's moving. If his mouth's moving, he's probably lying. That's not a new thing. That goes way back. Well, again, we bring it on down. How about car salesmen? How about insurance salesmen? All these promises that are made a lot of times wind up being lies.
And so I'm saying it ought to be dealt with, but our Lord carries it on. There's not only this attitude about oaths that we find, but in our text, I want you to notice the adjustment that our Lord makes in verse number 34, Matthew 5, 34. And I'll read 34, 35, and 36. They go together. But I say unto you, now here's what they have said. Here's what the Lord says. Swear not at all. Boy, he just lets us know where he stands on it. Not only don't swear falsely, he said don't be swearing. If you're honest, you don't have to take an oath. What our Lord is going to teach is an honesty of heart. He's dealing, as he did with all of these contrasts, our Lord does not just deal with the statement. He goes to the heart of the law and he goes to the heart of man. Amen. And so he's going to deal with the heart just like lust in the heart, just like anger in the heart, hatred in the heart, and just like all these other problems. Our Lord said we got to deal with the heart issue, and the heart issue is honesty. So I didn't finish reading my text again. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. Our Lord makes this adjustment. Our Lord does not disagree with the issue about perjury, that people ought to be honest. But our Lord carries this important thing about the profanity that's there. Swear not at all, neither by heaven. What's wrong with swearing by heaven? Because that's where God's home is. And in that way, you're relating your swearing to God, even though you're not using his name, so to speak. You see, God's command was not strongly against making an oath, although it was strongly against lying, and lying under oath in particular. But the major force of God's commandment in the Old Testament was against mishandling the name of God. But our Lord's going to carry it a little farther. Why? Because the Pharisees had majored on the minor. They had just looked at the perjury and left off the profanity. And by majoring on the minor, then they made minor the major. They didn't see that as anything all important. But our Lord's very interested in the glory and honor of God the Father. Our Lord is very, very diligent. He's got a zeal about protecting the honor of his Heavenly Father. That's why he was eaten up with zeal when they had turned the house of God into a den of thieves. It enraged him. Why? Because it dishonored his Father. And our Lord did always those things which pleased the Father. And he is interested in men pleasing the Father as well. Amen. So they carelessly used the name of God, so much so that they dishonored God and profaned the name of God. Therefore, they were guilty of taking God's name in vain. But here's what, this is interesting to me, that apparently those Jews, those Pharisees, had invented an interesting way to sort of skirt around the issue. They had come up with a crafty way to swear and pronounce an oath without using the name of God. They'd just use something close to God, like heaven, where he lives, or like earth, where the earth belongs to him, by the way. Earth is his footstool. Like the city of Jerusalem, and our Lord says that you shouldn't use the city of Jerusalem. That's the apple of God's eye. That is the city of the great king. He's talking about God's house is there in Jerusalem. Amen. And so they use these things. They pronounce these crafty ways of pronouncing an oath without using the very name of God. That way they could utter profanity and not be guilty of taking God's name in vain. They justified their behavior by recognizing oaths in two categories. They had serious oaths and slight oaths. Serious cursing and just slightly cursing is the idea. We have that today, don't we? Things haven't changed that much since the days of Christ. Amen. Our Lord came out against this, if I could say, sin without it sounding so bad, sin of taking an oath. He pronounced that even this is profanity because it alludes to God. Amen. Even though it didn't call his name distinctly, it alludes to God. So our Lord said this, swear not at all. Amen. Here's what I believe, and I believe this would be good advice to us as Christians, those words that maybe they're not curse words, but they're just a first cousin to a curse word. Maybe not a serious profanity, just a slight profanity, our Lord said, just don't even use them at all. Just swear not at all. Amen. And of course, our Lord pointed out the connection between the substitute profanities, the actual profanity, when he says that heaven's God's throne, earth is his footstool, Jerusalem is the city of the great king. So in reality, Christ is teaching us that when oaths are used, even when they literally take God's name in vain, or even when they don't literally take God's name in vain, they are yet profane because they allude to God. Again, he's pointing to the heart of man in this situation. Amen. Well, I could say a lot of things. I've got some notes here about some ways people use words. It's not obvious profanities, but it's our own, if you say, Christian brand of expletives. Words like gee and geez come from Jesus. You ever heard people and they use Jesus' name as a curse word? An exclamation? Sometimes they'll say the whole Jesus Christ as an expletive rather than honoring Jesus. That's taking his name in vain. And I believe G and G's is as well. The word gosh comes from God, taking God's name in vain. Again, that's not necessarily God, but it's as close to God as heaven is to God. Amen. Our Lord said, don't use those kind of words. Amen. As a matter of fact, there's other words that don't even sound like by thunder or by George. Those words, listen, that's an expletive that we use to make a point known, and it's yet reminding people of the profaneness of the world as they use God's name in vain. Amen. Amen. Well, I think that these things are just another crafty way, just another tricky way to try to get in our expletives without appearing to be so bad. Things that might not be condemned by religion, but our Lord put a stop to it all when he plainly said, swear not at all. Amen. Amen. Now, again, I'll finish up verse number 36, that about the hair being white or black. Some in Christ's day apparently were swearing on their head. Again, I don't know, maybe said, I hope that, you know, something falls on my head. I don't know, but he said, don't swear by your head, because even the hairs of your head represents God. Amen. You didn't put that hair up there. If you could, you'd tell other people how to do it. You didn't do it. God did it. Right? Matter of fact, our Lord's not just talking about the hair on your head. He's talking about the color of the hair on your head. That gets a little tricky, don't it? Well, there's the oath that's been made and the attitude of it. Then the adjustment our Lord gave. Let me give you the last one and the action that can prevent the profanity. Look at verse number 37. But let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Again, real simple. What our Lord's saying is when you say yes, mean yes. When you say no, mean no. Be honest about your conversation is what he's saying. If we just be honest, then we wouldn't need profanity to make our point. Amen. Our yea or our yes should be strong enough that we don't need oaths and profanity to back it up. Our no or our nay should be strong enough that we don't need oaths to back it up. Amen. People should know, people that know us should understand that what we say is true. That's what our Lord's saying. Our righteousness ought to exceed the righteousness of scribes and Pharisees, that we don't need oaths to make us tell the truth. We're going to tell the truth anyway because we've got Christ on the inside. Amen. We've got the Holy Spirit teaching us. Amen. Now, let me say this, and it's not taught here, but it's implied. I will imply it. I believe it applies here anyway. I think it'd help a lot of parenting problems if children just understood that when mama or daddy said yes, they meant yes. When mom or daddy said no, they meant no. That'd help a lot of parenting problems. Amen. Stop a lot of whining. Why whine if you know they mean what they say? I tell you why whine, because they get by with it. Because sometimes they get their way. It'd stop a lot of whining. It'd stop a lot of begging. It might even stop some disobedience. Now, children are going to be disobedient because none of them are angels, even though we say they are. Christians should speak the truth and lie not. That's just what I'm saying. And that's what our Lord's saying. I think that's right. We should not equivocate. We should mean what we say, and we should adhere to what we have asserted. Amen. Now notice the final assertion that our Lord makes on this subject, verse 37. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Some commentators say that this actually means that these profanities that seek to affirm or denounce more vehemently than plain speech actually comes from the devil himself. They say that word from evil could be translated from the evil one. It's not of God, it's of the devil. And I think that's very well possible and probable. Amen. We'll all agree that profanity does not build up a person's character. Profanity shows the lack of character. My mom used to say when I was a boy, she'd say to me and my brother, she'd say, boys, when people curse, they're showing their ignorance. Because if they could have thought of a good word, they'd have used a good word. But since they're not smart enough to know good words, they'll use bad words. That's what mom used to say. That's a pretty good proverb, amen, that we can pass on, amen. Profanity does not build up a person's character. It reveals the depravity of his character, reveals the blackness of his character. Profanity does not befit a lady or a gentleman, amen, much less a Christian. Albert Barnes, the famous Bible commentator of the 1800s, said this. I wrote this whole quote down. He said, profaneness does no one any good. Nobody is the richer or wiser or happier for it. It helps no one's morals or manners. It commends no one to any society. A profane man must be, of course, shut out from female society, and no refined conversation can consist with it. It is disgusting to the refined, abominable to the good, insulting to those with whom we associate, degrading to the mind, unprofitable, needless, and injurious to society, and awful in the sight of God. Boy, Albert Barnes done pretty good right there. Amen. Profanity, no need for it. No place for it in the life or the mouth of the Christian. Again, Matthew Henry, even more famous Bible commentator of the 1600s, speaking about this thing about Christians using oaths and profanities, he said this, Christians should, for the credit of their religion, avoid not only that which is in itself evil, but that which cometh of evil and has the appearance of it. In other words, Matthew Henry said not only those words we know are bad, but those words that we're just, they're a little colorful, and we're not sure if we should use them, we should leave those alone. One last scripture, James chapter 5, the brother of our Lord uses some of the same language. James chapter 5 and verse number 12, he's the apostle to the Jews. Inspired by the Holy Ghost, he said these words in verse 12. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Amen. James just summed it up, said don't use profanity at all. Don't curse at all. Don't use oaths at all. Just say yes and mean it. Just say no and mean it. Amen. Now, in order for our righteousness to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, we need to steer clear of swearing oaths. We need to steer clear of using profanities, even those that have been deemed innocuous by our society. Amen. We need to live in such a manner that people know that when we say it, it's so.
And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. As that concludes another week of radio broadcasting, we do hope you have a great weekend. I hope you'll be in the house of God on the Lord's Day. And I'd love to take this opportunity to invite you to come and be with us here at the Island Ford Baptist Church, located at 1415 Island Ford Road, here in Madisonville, Kentucky. Our Sunday morning service, Sunday school starts up at 10:15 a.m. and then the preaching time at 11:05 a.m. as well. And there will be no p.m. service on this Sunday evening. Love to have you come and be part of those with us. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day. And God bless you.